Lord, we do thank you for those words, words that give us encouragement, words that help us to remember that you truly are the Good Shepherd who leads us in all things. And so lead us this morning, O Lord, to understand what it is you have to say to us today, and help us, Lord, to know really how to pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you would like to turn back in your Bibles to the psalm for today, Psalm 5, which you'll find on page 540 in your Old Testament part of the Bible. Page 540, Psalm 5. And during the summer months, as some of you will already know, we are following a little series, following the Psalms, and seeing what they have to say to us in the world today. Last week we looked at Psalm 4, and that Psalm 4 is known as an evening prayer, a prayer that David said to help him through the night. As he finishes that psalm, he says, "I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety." What words of encouragement in a world today, as in the world throughout the centuries, where there are many trials and tribulations, to know that when we come to God, at the end of the day, to just remember who God is, who our Father in heaven is, and how he loves us, to help us to lie down in safety, no matter what our circumstances might be. I am sure there are many in this world, in the war-torn areas, who have that faith in Christ, will go to sleep in prayer, knowing that that helps them on that journey. Why do I have confidence to say that? Well, I belong to an organisation, or at least I pray for them and support them, called Open Doors. And this week we have been praying for persecuted Christians in Nigeria. On one of those days, we prayed for a lady. Her name, which I'm probably not going to say very well, at least her surname, is Deborah Shettimer. Deborah is a Christian in a very dangerous area. And in the year 2012, the group Boko Haram killed her son, her husband, and abducted her two daughters. And yet, even through that, she knows that God loves her and is helping her. And she writes, "Life might not be very easy for me, but the grace of the Lord will keep me going. My situation doesn't mean that God doesn't care about me. He does. Therefore, I will praise him, even in this situation. Who knows? He may change my situation for the better. He loves me, and I will never let him down." She will never let him down, even though she knows that that might mean the death of herself. Her prayer and prayers of others are that her daughters might be restored to her. And that's why she says, "My situation might change. God might give her daughters back, just as God gave me my twin daughters back, my daughters whom I had adopted when I was 20, because I was mentally unstable in many ways and had a very hard life. And I didn't think I was fit as an unmarried mother to bring up my twins. I gave them up. But in 1996, the Lord gave them back to me. I'd actually never prayed to have my daughters back when I became a Christian, because I didn't become a Christian till the 1980s. But what I had prayed was, God, if I can ever be of any help to my daughters, I will gladly receive them home. I was fortunate that God gave me my daughters back and loads of grandchildren to go with them. And so God might answer those prayers of Deborah and those who pray with her. But then again, he might not. But still, she says, he loves me and I will never let him down. She prays with confidence in God. She has been through many trials and tribulations, just as David had done the same. The David who wrote this psalm, Psalm 5 today, who cried out, give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. Here David is telling us through this psalm that he prays early in the morning. That's my habit too, and the habit of many, to pray early in the morning, because I know if I don't pray early in the morning, I probably won't pray throughout the rest of the day, because other things get in our way, don't they? We get so busy, other things take precedence. So to come early in the morning, even with the opening of our eyes, it's good to say, morning, Dad. It's nice to be with you today. Can you just help me? So this psalm of David is primarily a psalm about prayer. A prayer in which he uses words. Give ear to my words, O Lord. He's asking God to listen to his voice, to the things that he can actually utter, speak out. And he trusts that God is listening. He has confidence in God, and he has confidence in God because he knows God. He knows who God is. He's our Lord and our King. And so he calls out in the morning. But he doesn't just use his voice, does he? For he goes on to say, give heed to my sighing. Sometimes we can be in such a terrible state that we can't find even the words to pray or to express our feelings, our thoughts. And so we sigh. Sigh, not even uttering a word. And David said, give heed to my sighing. God listens, gives heed even to our sighing when we are in such a state that we can't utter words either. We don't know what to pray in many situations. I wonder how many times you said that to yourself or to God. God, I just don't know what to pray. But God gives us that gift of sighing even, to let our emotions out and to give them to God. And then he says, for he goes even deeper into his hurt. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. Listen to the sound of my cry. I wonder what our cries are, what our cries perhaps are today. what our cries are for ourselves, our family, our friends, and the world. Even Jesus cried out. He wept for Jerusalem. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for it is to you I pray. He doesn't pray to anybody else. God knows the cries, the sighs, and the words of this his beloved son, David. The one he has made a king, but a king in this world. Yet David the king cries out to his God, his God and his king. And he goes on to say, I plead my case to you and watch. We don't exactly know when David wrote this psalm or in what circumstances, but we know they weren't good. And he then begins to speak about this God. This psalm really is in like three sections. In the first section, so the verses 1 to 3, it's hearing about David and his cry, that prayer to God. And the second section, which is verses 4 to 6, and then it goes on to 9 and 10, is about God and people, who God is, what his character is. And he says, you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil will not sojourn with you. The boastful will not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. David recognizes that he serves a righteous God who cannot accept wickedness and evil. And he goes on to say of those who are not righteous, for there is no truth in their mouths. Their hearts are destruction. Their throats are open graves. They flatter with their tongues. Make them bear their guilt, O God. O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. David is not asking God to cast them out because of things that they've done to David, but he's asking God to cast out the unrighteous because they have rebelled against God himself. David is watching to see what God will do. And after speaking of the unrighteous, we then hear in the third section, verses 7 to 8 and then 11 to 12, about how he feels about God, how he knows God and what he's like. And he says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them so that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield. And so David, in these words, has expressed the fact that God loves the righteous, the ones who are made right with him, and that he blesses them. He blesses them and helps them through all those trials and tribulations. David is asking for guidance for discernment, help on the way, and aren't those prayers that we utter as well? We pray for guidance. We pray for help. And Jesus says in Luke 11, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God calls us to ask. Jesus, in his prayer that he taught the disciples, the pattern of prayer, knows that we need to ask. Jesus himself was one who prayed early in the morning, went up the mountaintops to speak with his Father, to have communication with him. So we can have that confidence that David had, because we know that we are made righteous, not by what we do, but by what Christ has done. We are all evil in God's sight, if he was to look at us, not through the eyes of Jesus and what he's done. But he's given Christ to us that we might have Christ's righteousness and turn to God in prayer. And so I'm going to close with just a verse from a hymn, an old hymn. It's written by Joseph Scriven sometime between 1819. Well, I don't think it'd be 1819 because he was only just born then. But he died in 1886. It's an old hymn, but it expresses the need that we have to communicate with God. And it goes, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Amen.